Ahead and open up to Luke chapter 18. We're going to look at a few verses in that chapter this morning together. You know, there are times in your life when you have some good advice to give someone. Maybe you've experienced some things and you know that if you will do things a certain way, you'll not have to go through all the pain, the suffering, all that learning curve that you went through. And there are people in your life you want to share with them and you want to help them and you want them to not have to go through all of the things that you went through in your life. And so we try to do that. Jesus is teaching in parables to help his disciples understand some things that they just do not understand. They're not getting it. And so he's going to help them. And I think about sometimes we get so hard-headed, we know what's best, that we don't really want to listen. And I was thinking about this, and I was thinking about a time back many years ago. Any of you ever given blood at a time, not at a doctor's appointment, but when you go to just give blood, like a pint of blood because the Red Cross has shown up, or someone in a family or in a church needs some blood, and you go down. And there's times, though, when they'll have a blood drive, and you'll get there, and there'll be a whole crowd there waiting. You used to do it in school. And I was at school, at a school where they were doing that and helping, and there was a young man, and he was very athletic, and he thought he was Superman. And the nurse is telling him, young man, this is what's going to happen. Here's how it's going to go. And I'm going to draw some blood, and we've got some orange juice and some cookies and things over here for you because you're going to be possibly a little lightheaded when this is over. So we need to take things easy. Oh, not me. You see this? He says, I am in great shape. When I get finished here, I'm going to the weight room and I'm going to lift weights. And she said, no, young man, you're not. That is not a good idea. You need to rest for a little while. Don't do those things. Ah, you don't know me. So I was sitting watching and he gave his blood and he said, see, I feel good. There's nothing wrong. I'm going right to the gym. And he jumped off that table and he took like 3 steps and he went, bam! He hit the ground. And you're worried, oh, I hope he didn't hurt himself, but you're laughing at the same time. Because I just listened to this nurse. Now, she doesn't know anything. She didn't go to school. She hasn't got any experience. She hasn't done this ever before in her life. Right. She does this all the time. And she says, young man, don't do that. And he did it anyway. And so we find, here we are, and Jesus is teaching, and it says in the passage that was just read, Gil just read for us out of chapter 17 and verse 11, it says, Jesus was on his way to Jerusalem. He knows the end is coming soon. And he's on his last time, he's heading into Jerusalem, and he knows in a very, very short time, in a very few days, he's getting ready to go through something that he's never experienced in all eternity. For the first time in eternity, he and the Father are going to be separated for a time. It's never happened before. And so I want you to grasp really what's going on. And he talks about the lepers, and he says, you know, there were 10 and only one came back. Why is that? Why is it that the 9 didn't come back, but this foreigner did? And so he's talking about those things. And then he goes, and I don't know the next number of verses. Different people believe different things, but whether it's a second coming foretold or about Jerusalem, about the destruction, or there's a lot of different philosophy about that passage. But he's talking about fearful times, things that are going to possibly cause you to lose your faith. You're going to wonder about things. Why are these things going on? Why do things like this happen in my life? Now, he's teaching this whole text together. It's all together. And we get in chapter 18, beginning in verse 1. And he says, now, he was telling them a parable to show that at all times they ought to pray and not lose heart. Prayer is important. And he's talking to them about their relationship with the Father and them talking to him. Now, I'll just read it, but in chapter 22, they're in the Garden of Gethsemane. And the Lord goes off by himself to pray, and it says he prays this in verse 42 of chapter 22. Father, if you are willing, remove this cup from me. Yet not my will, but yours be done. Now an angel from heaven appeared to him, strengthening him. And being in agony, he was praying very fervently, and his sweat became like drops of blood falling down upon the ground. Now I want to tell you, the Lord Jesus was going through some things, and he knew that the only way he was going to make it is by his prayer life, his relationship with his Father. And we see that time and time and time and time again. And he is not speaking about what ifs. He's speaking to his disciples about things that are absolutes, things that he's experienced in his life. He knows what prayer really means. And sometimes maybe we forget that. Sometimes we forget that even Jesus took out a time every single day in his life to talk to his Father. And we think, well, we don't really need that so much. We know what's going on, and we don't really need to pray that way. And we get up off of that table like that young man, flexing our spiritual muscles, saying, look how strong I am, and we fall smack on our face. And we do it all through our life. We make choices, and we fall, and we fail, and it's because we're not listening to what our Lord told us. If we were praying constantly, so many of those failings would not happen. And so, here we are, Jesus says, beginning again in verse 1, he's telling them a parable to show that at all times they ought to pray without losing heart. Here's the whole point of this parable, he says, is don't lose heart. Pray continually. You make it a point in your life that every single day this is going to be a priority in your life. So then he tells them this parable. So let's read it together. Verses 2 through 8. In a certain city there was a judge who did not fear God, and he did not respect man. There was a widow in that city, and she kept coming to him saying, give me legal protection from my opponent. For a while he was unwilling, but afterward he said to himself, even though I do not fear God nor respect man, yet because this widow bothers me, I will give her legal protection. Otherwise, by continually coming, she will wear me out. And the Lord said, hear what the unrighteous judge said. Now, will not God bring about justice for his elect who cry to him day and night? And he will not delay long over them. I tell you that he will bring about justice for them quickly. However, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth? And you start thinking about some of the words that just individual words through those few verses. And verse 1, he says, ought. You ought to keep praying. You ought. It's necessary. You need to do this. It's right, it's proper, however you want to define it. He said, you ought to do this. This is not something that you should ignore. This is something you should be giving yourself to. You ought to do it. You ought not to faint, or faint not, or lose heart. And literally, there's a lot of different ways it could be translated, but it could be translated utterly spiritless or exhausted. Don't become exhausted. Don't wear yourself out. Don't do those things. Don't give up. And so many times in our life when we don't have answers and we're we're beaten down and we lose all of these things, perceived anyway, that we lose all these battles against our opponents, people that are always doing things against us, we can become exhausted. We can lose our spirit. We can do that. He says, don't do that. when you're praying, you're not going to do that. God will revive you. God is going to strengthen you. God is going to give you everything that you need to make it through this life. So you ought to do this, and do not fear. Do not lose heart. Fear not. The judge did not fear. And we were talking a little bit about fear in Bible class this morning. There are some things that scared me. Have you ever been scared in your life? I mean scared. I was telling one of the stories of my life, and I said, you know what? And Kyron's sitting there, and I said, if that happened and Kyron would have been with me, I said, do you know what Kyron would have seen? What would have happened to Kyron? They said, no. I said, he would have had boot tracks right across him as I ran over him. And he thinks he's fast, and he is. You ever seen Kyron run? He could lap me 2-3 times going around the track one time. But not that night. I said, you would have seen a big, old, big guy run smooth over him because I was that scared. There are things that scare us. And when we talk about fear, when someone has absolutely no fear of God, how many people in the world fall into that category? When you don't fear something that's powerful, it's either because you're ignorant of it or you're stupid. There's only two choices. Now, some people are ignorant of God, and so they don't fear God because they don't know God. But those who know God and do not fear Him, it's stupidity. It's something that we look at and go, that's just arrogance, pride, whatever it is. But he feared Him not, nor did he regard man. I couldn't care less what happened to the people around me. I don't like you. I don't care about you. You are doing nothing but to be used. And you'll go through here, and she says, protect me, the legal protection, and the wearing out. He said, she's going to wear me out. Literally, it's kind of like getting a black eye. He said, I'm going to have a black eye, whether that's literal or just the way the perceptions of people and what how he's going to be perceived by those around. All of these things, and those little bitty words kind of get us into the context of what's going on. Here is a lady who has been wronged. We know that she's been wronged because she said it. The Lord is saying she has been, whatever it is, someone, an opponent, has done something, has lied about her, has stolen something, has taken something from her, whatever it is, he's gone outside, or she's gone outside the law, and she has attacked her, and legally, the judge is supposed to rank that right. He's supposed to say, no, you can't do this, you need to take and pay back, or take care of the debt that you now have with this lady. You don't have the right to do this. Here's what's going on. And so, let's look at a couple things. The widow. What does she do? It says she comes to him often. Over and over and over and over again. Is it there? Is it now? Is today the day? Are you going to do something about it today? And now he just keeps dismissing her and dismissing her and dismissing her. But at some point, there are going to be other people who are going to begin asking questions. Why do you keep letting her come to you? And I don't know, but it kind of even seems like maybe she's following him around. Kind of what we would say, maybe stalking him almost. But maybe he's out at a restaurant and she shows up at the restaurant. And she says, oh, Judge, I'm here again. I'm just going to tell you again, you're not doing your job. You're supposed to be protecting us, ladies, and you're not doing it. And so it goes on and on and on and on. How many of you get tired when your child or someone else asks you about 75 times for the same thing? And you just go, okay, I'll get it for you. Here's a candy bar. Or whatever that is that they're wanting, you give in and just give it to them. We do that. And here's this judge, she's going over and over and over, but with the same plea. Now, the plea is not, avenge me, or I want this person to feel all the remorse that I felt and all the pain and all the hurt. And she's not going and doing that. She doesn't want revenge. She wants what's right. She wants to be avenged. She wants you to do what's right, Judge, and take care of this. Because if she's suffering through this, how many other people are going through it? Judge, you're not doing what you're supposed to be doing, and I have the right to come to you and ask of you these things. And so the judge does it. Talking about praying. How often do we pray? Not that God forgets it. Now listen, and we'll see this in just a minute in the contrast I'm going to lay out for you, but God doesn't need to know what we need. He already knows that. We don't need to remind God what He needs to do for us. And so, why do we pray to God and say, God, I need this in my life. God, will you do this for me? God, does God need to know that? Do we need to tell Him what He needs to do? No. It's that relational thing. It's that thing we say, I want to depend on you. I know, God, you're in my life. We were talking about Daniel this morning in chapter 10 and chapter 9. And Daniel finds in the scrolls as he's reading that they're supposed to be in captivity for 70 years. And they've been there 70 years. And so Daniel says, God, you made some promises back here. Now, Daniel's not saying, God, maybe you've forgotten and I need to remind you that it's time for the remnant to go back to Jerusalem. That's not what Daniel was praying about. What Daniel was praying about was for strength from God. God, it's time that you lead us back. And I know that you need me to help get these people ready. God, help me get them ready. Help me understand. Help me do everything you need me to do now to get that remnant back so the people aren't mocking your people and that they know that you are God and you are alive. And so we need to know in our prayer life as we're praying, God is in control. God does love us. God is the one working everything out. But we need to have that relationship with Him. Because the instant we don't depend on God, what happens? I can do that. I can take care of that. And then I get arrogant and I start believing in myself and I think I can handle anything. And then I mess up over and over and over and over again. And I don't believe. Prayer is an important thing. That's why he starts this out. This about parable, about prayer. So that you ought to pray and not lose heart. Keep on praying. Keep on praying. Don't stop. Our prayer should be 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Now, did I say we should be on our hands and knees 24 hours a day? No. But that line of communication with our God should always be open. We should always be sharing and talking and thinking about. Maybe there's a little decision. What should I do? God, what should I do about this? Help me. Show me. Lead me. Give me the wisdom that I need to make these choices and these decisions. The widow's going back over and over and over to the judge, and Jesus is talking, and he's teaching this parable, and he's saying, she didn't give up. She knows that the only way things are going to be right is if she goes, continues going back. But the reality is, and here's that thing that kind of we really have to stop and think deeply. Jesus is comparing the judge to the Father. And he's saying, now look, when she went back and forth, back and back and back to this judge, what eventually happened? He finally gave in, didn't he? Now, look at the judge. Why did he do it? The judge did not respect man. Now, how can you be a judge and not respect mankind? Is that possible? You look at a judge who is a horrible judge that shouldn't be a judge, and you're going to find out he has no respect for mankind. And you can listen. I've been in courtrooms and listened to a man, a judge, even in this county, and thought, he is horrible. He does not care what happens to people. He doesn't care. He even said so much. He just, oh, just rolling his eyes and just disgusted that he's in this courtroom having to listen to these kinds of things. And you just go, why are you here? Why are you here representing us and you couldn't care less about anybody in this courtroom? Why do you do those things? And so Jesus says, here's this judge, and he doesn't care. He doesn't have no respect for man, and he doesn't have any fear for God. And those two go hand in hand, don't they? If you don't fear God, you're never going to respect man. It's not going to happen. Because we're created in God's image. And so I start looking at people and how they look, right? How they dress, maybe the color of their skin, maybe where they're from, maybe whatever those things are. I start looking at them and go, yeah, no, I don't care what you, no, you're not worthy. No, not you, not you, not you. What have you done for me? You know what? Maybe they contributed to my campaign. Maybe I should listen to that one because they got a little bit of money. And so it's still not respect for mankind, but it's what? Nothing but about himself. And that's what he says. This judge looked at nobody but himself. So why avenger? That's it right there. No loyalty to justice. That was the judge. Had no respect for man or God, but it was from pure selfishness that he went and took care of this widow. He said, to avoid the inconvenience, she's going to wear me out. I'm tired of going to dinner and having this woman show up and everybody in the restaurant being focused on me. I'm tired of that. I'm tired of having to go to the office and everybody there asking me, what are you going to do about this woman? Man, she's even on Facebook now. Do you know that? She's got thousands of people following her, and she's written all kinds of things about you. When are you going to stop that? And so it starts eating and eating, and now his pride is getting hit and all that. And he goes, all right, I guess I'll do something. Not because I have any respect for her. Not because she deserves it. Just because it's making me look bad. Giving me a black eye. So I'm going to do something bad. Got to protect himself. That's the only reason he did anything that he did. So if he's willing to do it because you're persistent, what's God willing to do? What is God, who loves you, who knows everything about you, knows what you need, knows every single thing there is about you, what is God going to do? And make no mistake, we need to know this. God is the ultimate judge. He is the one who we're all going to answer for. But there is an absolute huge contrast between the actions of God and the actions of the judge and the character of God and the character of this judge. That's what Jesus is trying to get. What does God do and what did this judge do? What are their actions? What is their character? God was willing to go through extreme pain, if you will, by sending his son. Now, I can tell you right now, that judge would not have done anything if he was going to lose money or lose anything. He would not have taken care of that widow. There is no way he would have done anything for her. God was there the whole time. God is there for us. And you can look around you this morning or think about when you're in the world and whether you're teaching or at a job or wherever you do and wherever you are during the week. And maybe you're retired and you go to other places and you see people and you know that people are going to fail you. God will never fail us. And we need to every single day believe, truly believe in that relationship with Him. Do we talk to God? What is our conversation? What was your conversation this morning with God? Do we dismiss that? Do we say, well, I don't really need to talk to God because everything's good? What happens with someone that you care about that you don't talk to for a month or 6 months or a year? Do you get closer to them? Is your relationship strengthened and you go, man, I am so excited and so happy about my relationship with this person. We haven't spoken in a year. Woo, that's good. No. What does it do to us? It destroys a relationship. It will not. Your relationship will fall apart. You'll be looking at that person. And a lot of times, not only do you just not go, I don't really care whether I see them or not. You start believing things about them. Well, they're talking about me. They're spreading things about me. Well, why do you think that? Because they won't even look me in the eye. They won't talk to me. When's the last time you talked to them? See, now I'm stepping on probably all of our toes, but I'm on both feet. I don't know how you can step on both feet at the same time. But I can do that. How are we ever going to strengthen a relationship with God? How are we ever going to make it through this life? How are we ever, when all these horrible things are going to happen, all of this stuff, and read in chapter 17, read verse 22 and following today, and you look at those things that's going on in there, and what Jesus is talking about, all of those things that have gone on in the past in different parts of history, and he points those things out, and there's some bad things that are going to happen in our life. There are bad things that have happened in our life, in your life already. And if we stop, we could all come up with some things and said, this wasn't fair. These things shouldn't have happened to me. My life shouldn't have gone this way. I shouldn't have had to go through all of these things. You're right. Life's not fair. But how do we make sense of it? If we don't have a relationship with God, we'll never understand this life. We'll never comprehend it. But we do know this. No matter what's going on, God is always there and always watching out, always protecting, always taking care of everything that we need in this life. When you open your mouth in the morning and you realize we can't live for a few seconds without doing that? If that air's not there, we don't live. And the axis of our earth, if it's off 1 or 2 degrees, we don't have that breath anymore. And it's all over. And we all die. Who keeps that world perfect? God does. Who created okra and corn and green beans and all those kinds of things for us to eat? Did we do that? No. God said, I know what you need. I'm going to give it to you. And I'm going to put nutrients in it so when you eat it, you can live a healthy life. And I'm going to bless you that way. And so we look through our life and we see God has taken care of us. But God wants a relationship more than anything to us to acknowledge those things and say, we need you. We need you in our life. We need to make some decisions this week. How are we going to make those decisions? We can't do it without you. God, we need you here. Jesus knew what was about to happen. And he went to that garden, and it said that he was praying so fervently. He was in such a deep place with his Father that the sweat pouring off of him became drops of blood. That's pretty intense. And so he's teaching his disciples, there's going to be times in your life you can't make it without prayer. You shouldn't even attempt it. So why don't you start practicing, even in good times, start practicing your relationship and your conversation with the one who loves you more than anyone else in this world ever possibly could. Build that relationship with him. God is going to take care of the wrongs, the things that we're wronged in this life. It may not be while we're here physically. May not be. He may say, you know what? You've gone through some things in this life, and it's bad. It's not fair. But I want you to know this isn't the life that I really have intended for you. The life I have intended for you is when I come back and I welcome you home. And I'm going to take care of everything for you then. So Jesus is teaching how important it is to pray. Our prayer life is absolutely essential, and do not, whatever you do, dismiss the most important thing you have and you can do in this world, and that's pray. What are you praying for in your life? What struggles in your life are you taking control of? Because you see, what happens to man, and you know this is true, if we were waiting on something to happen, just like this widow, if she had stopped going to that judge, what would she have eventually probably tried to do? More than likely, she would have taken matters into her own hand and taken care of it. And how many times in this world and in our life do we do the same thing? Instead of asking God, instead of seeking out God, help me, God, to make the right decisions. Help me to get out of this. Help me to do and be the right person and to make the choices I need to make. We say, all right, it's been long enough. Now then, I'm going to go take care of it myself. You're not going to take care of it, I will. And so when we don't talk to God, when we're not praying to God, then we take it upon ourselves, and then we go at people and we do things that we later are probably going to regret. But too many times we don't regret it. We go, well, I told you, you just got to take matters in your own hands, and then it'll get right. Look what he says, and we'll close with this. Verse 8 again. He will, I tell you, he will bring about justice for them quickly. However, look at it. Listen, however, when the Son of Man comes, when he returns, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth? Where will he find you? And when Jesus is in the garden praying in Luke 22, and he finishes his prayer, and he starts walking back, where did he find his disciples? All of them sound asleep. How many times in our life does God find us asleep? And Jesus woke them up and said, what are you doing? Why are you sleeping? It's not a time to sleep. It's a time to be praying. How many times do we catch ourselves sleeping in this life rather than talking to God? Where's your faith this morning? When the Lord returns, will he find faith on this earth? That's your choice. It's hard. Get up and depend on God every single day. That's what Jesus says we got to do. That's where we're going to find the strength to make it through this life and to be overcomers this world that he wants us to be. Are you a child of God this morning? Do you have the faith in him that changes your life? Is your prayer life right? You can change that. Are you willing to do that? Will he find faith when he returns? Only you can answer that question. If you need to respond to the invitation, to his invitation, if you need to answer that question for yourself where you're sitting, that's wonderful. But if you need to come forward and you need us to pray for you as you rededicate your life or begin your walk with him, you can do that this morning. Only in him will we find that victory. If you need to respond to the invitation, we ask you to do it right now while we stand and we sing together. Early calling me home. Calling today, calling today.